This is a conversation with Mr. Alec Lennie, L-E-N-N-I-E, an early settler in the Athabasca area. Mr. Lennie is being interviewed by Frank Falconer for the Athabasca Archives, and the date is July the 19th, 1983. Just start to read that, and I'll ask you questions as, you know, as they occur to me. Stop you every once in a while.
Okay. Yeah, well, I arrived in Athabasca on the 5th of November, 1930. My brother William and Charlie, we came with 6 horses and 2 wagons from Tofield, by the way, of the Fort Saskatchewan to Gibbons, and onto the Athabasca Trail to Tawatna.
Okay, can I stop you there?
Yes.
Why did you leave Tofield and come here? Was it the attraction of more land, or?
No, it was hard to get land there, and I had just come back from overseas a few years before.
Mm-hmm.
And I had bought a farm through the Soldier Settlement Board, which was a poor deal. It was a poor farm, it was all gumbo, and so I had to quit it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to rent in a couple of years, and then I thought maybe I could buy a piece of land, but just then everything was starting to boom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the 20s, about 26, and the land got up so high, and there was not only cheap land you could get, it was very poor, like up on the hills and one thing another.
And there was still lots of land in Athabasca at that
time. There was lots of land then, and so I started out looking for homestead. The first trip I made, I went through here in 27 with Frank Sowers and my brother Colin. We were going to go to Peace River, and we got up to Lawrence Lake up here, not as far as we could go.
Yeah.
They were just building that road through then, you know, and we had a Model T Ford.
Oh, yeah.
That's as far as we went.
Well, now, let's stop you again. Did the Sowers come up at the same time that you did?
Yes, they came the same time.
And they were from the same area?
Yes, from the same area.
Well, there were quite a few of them.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there was an old man and his family, and then they had 10 children. And the boys were all, well, there was Matt and Frank and George. They were all old enough to take homesteads. No thanks, Frank. Yeah. And so we decided to... And Mark Ferguson came up here before we did. He came in 28.
Would he be the person that the Ferguson School
was
named after?
That was named after.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought that big steam outfit up here. And he was in the same fix. He had this steam outfit and thrash machine, but he didn't have no land.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to go homestead. And so he started for Wandering River, but he met Jack Beeston in here, and Jack told him about this land out here. And that's where he went. And when he came back to Tofield, he told us about it and told us we better come up and look it over and see what we thought of it.
That there wouldn't be very many people. That was in the Forest District, wasn't it?
East of Forest District.
East of Forest District. What did they call that?
Well, we called it the Ferguson District.
Ferguson.
Yes. You know, when we started the school, we named the school Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
We always went by Ferguson District.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the roads out
at that time, we used to come to Colin. That's the only way Ferguson could get out, too. He had to go south down to Angelo's,
mm-hmm.
and then on the old Abyss Trail to Colin and around, come in this way.
What was the Abyss Trail, Alec?
Well, as far as I know, it was the trail they had built here from here to Lake Labiche. And the early, I don't know just when they built it, about 1910 or something like that.
And where did it? Where would it be now?
Well, it there's only a little bit of it left now that is, and there's a piece through Tom Plumley's farm.
So it went quite a long way south.
Yeah, it's used to go out here to by Ed Shanks's old place.
Oh yeah.
And south down the ridge area, there was an old school, Twatna School, I believe.
Yeah.
And there, it went by Twatna School, and then just kind of followed that ridge around till it got down to where, you know, where Billy Watson lives now.
Yes.
On that line.
Oh yes.
And then they went east.
Yeah.
They went east past Chester McCutcheon's and down to the corner down there where Hutchins used to live. Whiteley had used to have a farm on the north side of the road there. You guess that was his homestead probably one time.
And at that time, that Stocks Post Office was there.
Stocks Post Office was just a mile south of that corner.
A mile south of the trail.
Yes.
And was Fred Chapin there at that time?
Yeah, Fred Chapin was there, yes. When we came, why, at just about the time Volklander bought Fred Chapin out.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred moved into town here.
Mm-hmm. One more thing I want to ask you. Did you ever hear of the name Kinnikinnick?
Yes.
What was it?
A post office.
Where?
Down, when you go on the highway between McCollum and the Boyle, and you get to the end of, south end of Flat Lake.
Yeah.
And just before you come onto that pavement, it was right in that corner. There's, before you come to the pavement, there's the roads cross. There's one going this way, one going then that way. And they, that post office was right in this corner there, in the corner next to the pavement, where the pavement is.
Well, that would be about at Cordingley's?
No, it's east of Cordingley's.
East of Cordingley's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. I'm getting lots of information.
And then that's where the LaBiss Trail went. And from there it went north and out through Tom Plumley's farm, across through Plumley's and come down by Angelo's old place. It kind of followed the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And it crossed the creek there and went up to where the old Paxton Post Office used to be. Mm-hmm. Old Rushlow was there when I come there. Old Amy Rushlow.
Earl Wright got that after.
Yeah, that's the place Earl Wright got after. And it went down past that and then just kind of catty-cornered out through there till it come out to Amber Valley School. And then on through that way to Lake LaBiss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the only piece that's left that I know what you can travel on. It's through Plumley's farm there. Left. The rest of it has been all closed off and fenced up.
That was a historic trail.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead with what
I
you...
I think Davy Jones was the guy who built that, or put it through, worked on it.
Is that right?
Yes.
I didn't ever remember, I knew him, but I didn't ever remember him being associated with the road building.
Yes, well, apparently he was the one. That's what they told me, you know, your dad told me that.
He was an auctioneer when I
yes.
and he also and I also remember he owned part of the old Dagio Theater that burned down, but that'll be before you came
here.
Yeah,
before I came here. Yeah.
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 Well, go ahead with what you're reading there. And
where was I? Oh yes. And on to Athabasca Trail to Tawatna, then on to Number 2 Highway to Collin. Then to John Andrews, where there was an old trail going north through the bush to my homestead, which was 4 miles north and 1 mile east. I also had one milk cow trailing behind the wagons. We also had 2 dozen hens and a rooster. As the house was not quite finished, I had to get it ready for the family who was coming a week later. My wife and 5 children who had stopped with her parents at Ross Creek, Mr. and Mrs. Borsted, who later came to Homestead 1 mile west of our place. Mr. Borsted brought my family in a Model A Ford over the same road as I had traveled. They got to the homestead 1 week after. The day after I arrived, I went to Athabasca to get some lumber for flooring for the house, over a trail through the bush to the correction line and to Forest School and on into town. I bought Grove and Tongue flooring for $15 a thousand square feet from Charlie Bishop. Got it home and put it in the house, built of logs and a slab, shod roof, which used to leak for 2 days after the quick rain.
I didn't know they had any sod roofs.
Yeah, well, I had a sod roof. There was two or three different ones out there had sod roofs.
Mm-hmm.
But they wasn't the right sod here. On the prairie, they had that good sod, but here, the sod was too thin.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't. That old prairie sod that you would plow it and it'd just come out and strip, you know, you'd cut it off and put it on a roof. And after it grew together, but it was good.
How long would it take you to get to Athabasca from where you homesteaded?
From where I homesteaded? Well, it used to take us 5 hours. The first trip I made, I came out through on that old Labiche Trail and came right around on the Labiche Trail. My dad and I came in. And we must have been 6 hours on the road that day. In the summer, and it was kind of a dry spell, so it wasn't too bad. But then they started to build that road through the big muskeg down there, straight through. And but otherwise, we come through by Forest School, around up that mm-hmm. way. In the wintertime, we'd come straight across, of course, where the highway is now, practically.
Yeah.
But that, around by Forest School, is about a four-hour drive, East Davis.
Well, that big muskeg was really famous.
Oh, yes, that was a...
You had to go around one end of it or the other end.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, for Amber Valley, I know it... Yes. It added about 16 miles trip into town.
To their trip into town, sure.
But actually, they're not very far away.
Yeah. Well, I was on the 10 miles now. You see on the pavement, I'm on the 10 miles.
Yeah.
And that way, it used to be 16.
Yeah. Oh, but you never imagined at that time that there would be a paved road right out
here. I never imagined that would ever come through there. And when we built the, remember the first detour they made on East Hill here? The old road used to go straight up there.
Yeah.
And then we built this other one around before they built the one they got now.
Mm-hmm.
We used to circle mm-hmm. around and come up back up there. Well, I was working there that time on that job with old Bard. He was engineer.
Oh, Bard was the road foreman, a road engineer.
Yeah, he road engineer for the government.
And Art Laporte was involved in that.
Pardon?
Art Laporte was involved in that. He was foreman or something like that, a counselor.
He was a foreman, you see, but didn't have no counselors and his all that ID.
Oh, I see.
So Art Laporte had all this area, Athabasca, clean out to Donaldville, Boyle, and out to Smith out this way, on this side of the river, and then I had all that church on the north side. But he appointed foreman in each district, like. And that was how I got that job. Your dad and Art came out there one night, one evening to see me, and I got that job. And that I was working on this job here when I was old Bard. And he says, Alec, he says, when we get through with you, if it was in the fall, this winter, he said, I want you to measure all that muskeg and all the ridges straight out here, he says, on that line, out to Amber Valley. And he says, and you draw a map of it and let me have it, he says, and I'm going to go on with that road, he says, in the spring. So I did, I worked all winter on that bloody thing, measuring the muskeg and the ridges and lakes. And the poor old Bard died that spring.
Oh, yeah.
So that then they got Killern in, and Killern just quashed it like that. There's no road.
Just another 30 years before they were built.
Yeah, before they got there.
Well, do you remember what year that first new road was built up the East Hill?
1937.
So you would spend quite a little bit of time going up and down that
steep slope. Yeah, that old street was there many a time.
Wasn't that? That was quite an experience.
Oh, boy, that was something. I was coming down there one time with a load of wood on the missus. I had one of the children with us. And it was in a wagon. And I had a rough lock on the wagon, and we got just about halfway down that steep pitch, and the chain broke. And boy, it just took that load just sent them horses down there. You know? We sure had to ride down that hill that day.
I had an uncle living here.
Uh-huh.
This was earlier on.
Yes.
And he and somebody else were coming down that thing in a car, and their brakes went.
Yeah.
And I guess they really came down in a hurry.
I bet they did.
I think quite a few people had a pretty fast trip down that hill.
Oh yes, yeah, there was a lot of them had fast trips down there.
Do you remember, quite often, in those days there would be a runaway in town?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
I remember somebody's horse is running away and he pointed him up the East Hill, you know, and they never got to
never
the top.
Got...
This is a good place to stop runaways, but that was what all was good for. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
He was going up that East Hill one time. I was going home in the evening, and Hugo Carlson was just ahead of me. And it was icy, awful icy. And we got up to the top up there, but Hugo had his horses shod, and I had mine shod. But it was a bunch of them guys from out of Prosperity, you know, and I guess they couldn't afford to shoe on their horses. And they got about halfway up the hill, and then poor horse would fall down, and oh, they were having a heck of a time. So Hugo and I took our teams and would hitch onto the, and pull them up, because we couldn't get by them. So we pulled them to the top of the hill, and boy, you just kept another one coming, another one coming. Hugo says, boy, he says, this is going to be a long job if we stay here. Says, let's get the heck out of here before anybody else comes. But oh, them poor horses, they had no chance at all on that hill, on that ice. They just...
But. It would be interesting to know when that road was first built, the old steep one.
I've heard about it. I don't know too much about it. I think old Ike Gunyer was the man that did that job, yeah.
Ike did a lot of stuff around here. You wouldn't know Ike Gunyer.
No. No, I never knew. I knew his brother, Gabe, but Ike was dead when Ike came here.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had moved way out there at Amber Valley, you know, and built that big house out there. You were going to start a hotel or something, they said. Oh, he had a monstrous place out there.
Is that still there?
No. It just bulldozed it down there about a year ago.
Is that so?
Somebody bought the land and they bulldozed it down.
Gee, I wish I'd known about that.
Yeah, that is there. About a year ago when they bulldozed that out. That is a monstrous big house. Well, they said he built it for a hotel.
Well,
a stopping place, like on the road to Lake Lebish.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was right on the Lake Lebish trail. And he had some big barns, too, at places. Kept a real stopping place, I guess. But he was dead when I come. I don't know how long whether he ever got that thing going or not, I don't know. But I guess he lived there for a while. But when I came, why, Charlie was living up in Prosperity, Charlie Gunyer. And his uncle Abe was with him. So they lived back up there. Now. But I think your dad told me that old Gunyer built that, got a grant from the government, because he had some land out here. Oh, along the riverbanks up there, he had three quarters, I think.
Yeah, Gagne had quite a little land on the river. He he donated the land that the town of Athabasca used for their first waterworks.
Oh, is that so? Mm-hmm.
Down where Quint Construction is now.
Oh, is that so? Mm-hmm.
And they were having trouble getting land from the Hudson Bay or the CNR, I'm not sure which, on the riverbank. And So he donated that land, and they brought the water in from there, which they should never have done because they brought it too far.
Sure.
How would they trench at that time? Did they have a steam shovel, or did they trench all by hand?
Mostly all by hand.
I suppose.
Yeah. Had it all by hand.
Did you ever work in Edmonton in the earlier days?
No, I never worked in Edmonton in them days.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest recollection I had coming to Edmonton, I used to work for a rancher out there, and he used to sell horses to take them into Edmonton and sell them. He had a liver barn in Edmonton, which was on 101st Street, just north where the subway is there now. Remember where the old CNR depot was there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was right at, then it was just across the tracks from the depot. We had a liver barn there. Old Kinsey and Trent, they had the liver barn. Trent was my boss, he had the ranch out there. And I broke horses from him. I used to break horses and I'd get a bunch of them broke and bring them into Edmonton and you'd sell them.
Mm-hmm.
I brought the first four horses into Edmonton at, they're a big outfit, has a cartage outfit in Edmonton there. Boy, I never thought. Look. No, not McCarthy, but.
You'll think of it.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead with this, and I'll interrupt you again when.
Yeah, well, that's just as far as I got here. What I got rolled down there. See what I got here.
Where?
Oh yeah, here. I can write down more of this. As we had no feed for livestock, I was lucky when I met John Angelo, who had lived to the south of us and had a lot of hay that fall but did not stack. So I made a deal with him to stack it on shares. There was very little snow that winter. There was a good crop of cranberries. And the missus and the children picked cranberries all winter. So we had lots of jams and jellies. And I made ties for the railroad and sold them to Alec McLeod, who had a contract with the railway. Mark Ferguson, who came from Tofield, was the first to settle on the district. He came in 1928. He had a big steam engine and a thrashing machine and some large plows to break land with. Yeah, that's all I've got there.
Well, that is good enough. I wanted to ask you about how tough it was to make a living during the Depression.
Oh boy, it was tough. I never went hungry. We never went hungry, but boy, I tell you, it was tough going. I've come to town here. I've carried chickens in here and sold them for 2 bits apiece for fowl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And carried the grocers home.
Another story that's worth talking about is the way so many people, especially in the winter, used to come to town and stay overnight in Daniel's barn.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Do you ever do that?
I've done it, yeah. Yeah, it was a lucky thing we had that old barn there, you know. You'd put your horse in there for 25 cents and brought your own feed.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that little office in there. One downstairs and one upstairs. And that thing used to be just packed both in places with people sleeping in there.
He was a pretty fine old man.
Oh, he was fine. He was really an old.
He sure helped a lot of people
through
that depression.
He sure helped a lot of people through that depression, you bet. Yeah, he was really a nice old man. And yeah, I used to bring wood in, haul wood in to him, and he said he had that wood out, cut out for Terry then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which he built himself.
Yeah, he built himself.
This was a machine that split wood.
Yeah.
And then he would sell the wood around town.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to buy wood from him once in a while.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing, all the houses in town would buy logs in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the spring, a sawmill outfit would come
in
and saw wood all over town.
Yeah.
My father used to buy him a stack of logs all over the place.
Yeah, I hauled a lot of wood into there. I used to, into this town. And it was funny, you know, people's ideas of things. So, old Fred Chapin, I sold him wood. And he always wanted box, he never wanted split. And I says, why do you want more box? I get more wood that way. And I says, how do you get more wood that way?
Well, I suppose if it's a load.
Well, he says, your block is solid, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you split it up, you can't pile it that solid again.
Mm-hmm.
He says, so therefore there's more in a load of blocks than there is in a load of split wood in the same box.
That's right, there is.
Yeah.
Alec, what did Fred do after he came to Athabasca?
No, I just ain't sure what Fred was doing in here now. He had some land up in there where we are now, back up in here from the school, back over in that flat there.
Oh?
Along that street. He had about 3 acres of land in there. He had it all fenced, you know, and I used to haul wood up in there for him. And I think he kept a few stock in there. And used to feed grain off of the farm, for one thing. Because he used to get his share of the grain. I don't think he sold the land to Boklander, he just rented it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to see him out there at the farm once in a while if I happened to go to Boklander's and I'd buy straw or something for him or feed. And I'd come down there and old Fred would be there getting a load of grain. So I think he must have had a few head of stock.
He always seemed to have lots of money, so he had to do something.
Yeah, he done something like that. I just...
Well, now let's finish off this tape. I would like to really to ask you.
Will you ask the question, Frank?
I just want to ask you about the changes that you've seen in the country since you came in here.
A change?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, when I came in here, we had horses, some had oxen, some had mules, you know. And there were no roads, it was just trails through the bush, and it was an awful job to get into town, you know, or get anywhere. Because all the ridges seemed to run north and south, and the muskegs run north and south too. And you had to come west to come to town, you had to cross the muskegs to get here.
Mm-hmm.
But then as they started to improve in the 40s there, when the war was on, people were able to buy
here because It was segregation that caused me to come, but I was just looking around. I just came out of school and I was looking around. And when I came to Edmonton in July 1910, I liked Edmonton.
Oh,
I was 22. And someone that was in Oklahoma was already there, old man Murphy, a father-in-law. He did prove to be my father-in-law after that I wasn't married. But I came out here. I walked all the way from Edmonton to Athabasca. And this was called Athabasca Landing.
How long did that take you?
3 days. And then they were telling me about there's a lot of good land east of here. And my father-in-law, he had been out here and had fire. And so I went out there, and there wasn't anybody out there, you know, just to add breeze, you might say, between...